I have a thought on my heart that I would like to talk to us about. I'd like for us to consider the thought this evening of responsibility. And I realize this is something that can go in a lot of different areas, and there's no way that I could cover that here tonight. I'm not going to try to. But I'd like to kind of focus on our responsibility to God and to those around us. And when I say that, I know that really encompasses everything. It just about all falls within that. So I desire the Lord to help me to know how to bring all this out that the Lord has laid on my heart. But I would like for us to start. Well, first of all, thank you. First of all, I'd like to read the definition that I wrote down from Webster of responsibility. And it says it's a charge for which one is responsible. It says, or accountable. Accountability, also moral accountability, as the responsibility of parenthood. And it refers to responsibility as accountability, answerable, liable, and then responsible on that. So it's talking about responsibility as being a charge. It's something that is giving to us that we're accountable for. In our world today, it seems like there are many, many people, and getting more that way, that just refuse to accept responsibility for their actions, their inactions, or for anything else that we're responsible for. Parents, not all of them, but many in our world today, don't want the responsibility of children. They have gone to the extent of taking and performing abortions and anything else to try to get out of that responsibility. They don't want to accept that. And they don't want to take and spend time with those children. And so they'll ship them off to daycares and preschools and summer camps and school, anything they can to just get them out from under their feet. There's a lot of people today that have taken and resorted to all the different kinds of drugs for all the different things that they've diagnosed of ADDs and all of this to try to just calm them down. We just don't want to, just get them out of my, I don't want to deal with them. Just recently, you probably heard it on the news of the woman that, I believe it was in Texas, that she shook her baby so hard that it ended up dying. And why? It's because that it was a bother to her. She was playing the farm game or whatever it is on Facebook, and the baby was crying and it disturbed her game. And so she was so frustrated, she just went in there and shook it. And the baby died as a result. Now, probably the baby was crying because she had neglected her responsibility to begin with as a mother. She was charged with that child and the responsibility of caring for that child. And she shirked that responsibility, and now she'll have to pay no telling how many years in the pen because of that. Well, it's not just parents not being responsible for their children. Children don't want responsibility for their parents. You say, well, I'm a child. I shouldn't have to. I'm talking about later on. Parents get old and they're not able to care for themselves. And I had someone tell me one time something, and I won't get it exactly the way they said it, but they made the comment, well, they've lived their life and now it's time for us to live ours, and we shouldn't have to take and sacrifice our time to care for them. So just go put them in a home someplace and just kind of get them out of the way. It's the same thing that the parents many times had with the children, and they've grown up that way. Well, that's contrary to Scripture, isn't it? What was it the Apostle Paul said in one place? He said, speaking of widows, and he said, if they have sons or nephews, don't just stop even at the sons. There's a charge. And I'll put this in my own words. He said, let them learn to care for them at home. It's good and it's profitable. There is a responsibility that falls upon each one of us, isn't there? Well, people have learned to shirk that responsibility, some for different reasons. Selfishness, greed, just different things. We all know the stories of the lady that went to McDonald's and she got the hot cup of coffee and stuck it in her lap and drove off. And naturally, I don't know about you, but if I stick something in my lap and I drive off and I have to stop, it's going to spill. And it burned her. But instead of accepting responsibility, she was able to sue and get all kinds of money. Well, a lot of times it's greed. It's selfishness that causes people to fail to take the responsibility, the charge that has been given to them. But I'd like to consider the scriptures tonight about accountability and what God has to say about it. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, here to Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans, the 14th chapter, and in the 11th verse. Romans 14 and 11, it says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." You notice what the apostle Paul said here. He said, "So then every one of us." Did he leave any of us out? It didn't, did it? Every one of us includes everyone in here, doesn't it? He said, every one of us shall give an account for who? His neighbor? That's not what it said, did it? Every one of us shall give an account for himself unto God. Dear ones, this is something that it's important for us to understand. And know that we know this. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart. Every one of us are going to give an account for ourselves. I'm not going to give an account for you. And you're not going to give an account for me except for the responsibility that I have to or for you. I'm going to give an account for myself. And I'm going to give an account for my responsibility that God has given me to and for you. But other than that, that's it. This is a fundamental principle of truth that we need to get established in our minds. Because it's something that is the foundation for many things that the church teaches. Our responsibility is to God. And then our responsibility for others is only the charge that has been given to us to them or for them. Now, this is even the foundation of our stand for modesty. This is one of them. When you look at this, he says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now, say I'm out and there's a path here and I go along and I've got something and I just say, "Well, I'm going to set this down. I'm going to go over here." And you tell me now, "Brother, you better move that because that's right in the path and people's going to stumble over." My attitude is, well, they ought to be paying attention to where they're going. Well, that's true. They ought to be paying attention to where they're going. But I also know that right at this point, there's things that are out here that distracts people. And you may tell me, but when they come through here, this over here is happening. They're looking over here and gawking and they won't even know that that's there until they stumble over. You ought to move that. No, they ought to pay attention to what they're doing. You see how this works? It's when it comes along and then say somebody else comes along down through there and they're looking off and they stumble over that. Who's responsible for that? There is an accountability, isn't it? There's a charge that is given. Now, I might say, well, they should have been watching and they should have. And they're going to suffer the consequences of falling and of their action of not watching. But I'm going to be held accountable because I knew that I was putting something in a path that could very well cause them to trip and fall. And I refuse to do it. The Lord is giving me, I'm violating the principle that God taught here, didn't I? Because I disregarded their welfare and I decided I'm just going to go ahead and do it. It's their responsibility and so they should be watching. Do you know that's the same thing when it comes down to many things that you and I do in life? The Lord is looking on our hearts, isn't He? And He knows. And you and I are not going to be responsible for the failures of others, but we're going to be held accountable. And He said, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And what we're going to give an account for is myself and the things that God has charged me with you or with someone else. And that's something I want us to make sure that we get a hold of tonight. And I know you know that. It's very fundamental principle of Scripture. But it seemed like these are the things the Lord has been dealing with me this last little while, is just basic principles of truth. That we get a hold of these things. That we not just assume that everybody knows, but that we get a hold of these fundamental principles of truth. I'd like for us to turn now over here to 1 Peter. Look at another scripture. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in the first verse, it says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you." Here we find that the Apostle Paul, as he's speaking here, he said, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. In other words, for as much as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves or prepare yourselves to be able to do the same thing. When you look at this, the Apostle Paul was telling us that what he's saying here is that Christ paid a tremendous price for our salvation. He gave his life, didn't he? He shed his blood for you and I. And he's reminding us of that, and he's saying, for as much then as Christ has suffered in the flesh, prepare yourselves, arm yourselves to be of like mind, of the same mind, that you might be able to be prepared to suffer also for the name of Christ. Dear ones, when you look at this, the Apostle Paul was trying to instruct us of something that we need to be responsible for, that we need to be prepared and ready to do. If you look at this, he said that in the second verse, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the lust of the flesh, the lust of men, but to the will of God. What he's telling us here is that no longer. Christ has purchased us. He's redeemed us by the blood of Christ. We're a new creature in Christ. We're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. And now it is our responsibility to fulfill the will of God. It's our responsibility, our charge that has been given us, to be an example of the believers. When you look at this, I think about companies, when they take and you go in for an interview and they hire you to do a job, they don't hire you and then Monday morning you decide, well, I'm just going to go fishing. I went fishing last Monday morning and I liked that hole and I'm going to go back and I'm going to go fishing again. Well, you can't do that, can you? Why? Because now you're not just without a job and you're not calling your own shot. You've been hired. They have taken and they've come to you and they've said, I will do this. I will hire you and you'll be able to get this kind of a salary, but here's your job description and this is what we're expecting of you. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, isn't it? He's saying that for as much as Christ has suffered for us, he's given himself a sacrifice to purchase us and redeem us from sin. We're a new creature. We're not our own. We're Christ. Now he's saying, arm yourselves and be prepared to suffer likewise in order to be able to go out and be of a help to souls. Christ had to suffer to bring about our salvation. And dear ones, you and I need to prepare ourselves that, Lord, yes, if it takes that, I'm willing to suffer and die and go all the way to the cross, if that's what it takes, to be able to be of a help to souls. Because that's our responsibility. That's our charge now, isn't it? Is to be willing to fulfill the will of Christ. Now, he goes on here and he says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. Dear ones, people in our world are going to think it's strange of you and I that we don't go along with all the things and do all the things that the world is doing, won't they? There's so many things that our world is involved with, things that you and I were once a partaker of. And he said, they're going to think it's strange that you no longer do those things anymore. Now, you could go back to the analogy that I was using and you could say, well, all of my buddies went fishing with me and they're out there on the bank and they're going to think, well, where's he at? He always comes here and fishes. But now you've taken a job. And they're going to say, well, what? You need to come here. We're having a good time. We're fishing. But you said, no, I've made a commitment. I'm now working for so-and-so, and because of that, I can't come there and fish. I'd like to fish, but I can't do it on the company time. Well, that's the same way it is with Christ. We have a charge, a responsibility to be an example of the believers. And there are things that the world may be doing, but dear ones, you and I are charged with the responsibility to fulfill the will of Christ, to be able to be an example to those that are out there in the world. And so they're going to think it's strange, but dear ones, we're accountable. We are answerable to God because now we are not our own, but we are Christ. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I'd like to now shift over here just a little bit to Matthew. Matthew, the 12th chapter. Sometimes people, as the Apostle Paul said, they'll think it's strange. People may not understand why we do what we're doing. But dear ones, what I want us to get a hold of tonight is we're doing it because we have a charge. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We have a royal commission that God has given to you and I to fulfill in this earth. And that is to be able to show the love of Christ to those around us. To be able to be a light in this darkness, that those that are out there that are being crushed by sin, that they can see a better way. That they can see that there is a place of salvation where they too can be free from the fetters of sin. And so we're charged with this royal commission and this charge to be able to fulfill the will of Christ. And when people begin to look at it strange, they'll begin to tell you, well, you know, the Lord really doesn't require all of that. He doesn't mind if you go fishing. I want to ask you, dear ones, you think your employer will mind if you don't show up every Monday morning because you're out fishing on the bank? I've got a feeling that he'd mind. And I've got a feeling that it wouldn't happen more than once or twice, but one, he'd be calling you into his office to have a conversation. Do you know, dear ones, it's no different with the Lord. The Lord is looking on, and you and I, the Lord is very merciful, and he may deal with us. But if he finds that we're unwilling to fulfill the commission that he's given us, if we're just going our own, then he's going to say, I purchased you, but now we've gone back out. Well, I think about what Christ said here in Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew, the 12th chapter and the 33rd verse. It says here, Jesus was speaking. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word of men shall that speak, they shall give an account thereof to the day of judgment. I find here in this scripture that it's either It's either good or it's evil. I find that the Lord, as He's speaking here, is letting us know that it's one way or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no, this is okay and that's not okay, and you can just kind of blend it all together. The Lord is saying a tree is known by his fruit. There is a clear demarcation from sin. The Lord is expecting you and I to be able to be examples of the ambassador and ambassadors for Christ. I was talking to a contractor here just the other day, and we were talking, and he said something about, he said, well, my secretary, she answers the phone, and she says, she'll tell people, she said, that I'm not there. He said, she's real protective of me, and he said, sometimes I'll be sitting right there beside her, and she'll say, oh, he's not here. And he said, I said, thank you, because he was busy. And he said, oh, just a little white lie. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's exactly what the devil wants us to think. It just don't really matter. It's just a little white lie. It don't really matter anyway. But the fact is, he was there. And when somebody, if she told him that, and then they came in, or just like somebody that he told just like me, it cast a reflection, because I know he goes to church, and it cast a reflection. I thought, well, wait a minute. We're supposed to be children of God. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Christians. We take the name of Christ. And the world is looking on. And Christ is saying here, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Dear ones, there is a responsibility that falls upon us as the children of God, to exemplify and to portray to the world the attributes of Christ, and those things that the world is constantly trying to pull us into, and all of these things. The Lord is saying, I want you to leave those things, and I want you to be a clear example of Christ. There's some other things that I won't get to here tonight that I'm building this on. But dear ones, I want us to get a hold of, there's a clear responsibility that we have as the children of God. I thought about companies. When you look at companies, they're very particular about the image that their employees portray. I've watched, since I've been there at Williams now several years, and I've watched things evolve over time. And I remember when I first started there, and there were codes of conduct and ethics and all of that. But I noticed back then, for the most part, they referred to why you're on the job. There's no drinking on the job. There's no this on the job. When you do this, you're this. And it's all why you're on the job. But I found over time that has grown, and till now they're talking about our code of ethics and our code of conduct and how that it applies to us all of the time, not just while we're on the job. And they've stressed to us that when you're an employee of Williams, even when you go out away from the job, you represent the company many times, and you have an impact. They, all of the stuff with Facebook and all, they began to come out with things because people were posting things, and then it would be said that they're a Williams employee, and so they were stressing, you don't do that. Because it casts a reflection upon the company. And so they begin to stress that when you go out and you're just, even though you're not at work, the things that you do, when people understand that you work for the Williams company, it casts a reflection upon the company. And we don't, and I'm putting this in my own words, but basically this was it. We don't want to be known as people hiring people that do these kind of things that are not acceptable in society. Well, you see how it broadened. Now it's not just on the job, it's now 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because of the reflection that it casts. Dear ones, if companies are concerned about their image, if they're concerned about how we represent them, how much more does the God of heaven, is he concerned about the responsibility that we have to witness to those around us and to be an example of the believers. I believe that God is very concerned. There's not a time that you and I have been set. Now, on the company, on the clock, people can argue with that and say, well, you're only paying me from X to X. And I've heard that argument. And what I do outside of that is on my time. Is there ever a time that is our time in living for the Lord? Is it only on Sunday morning from about 9:45 till maybe a little after 12? And then Sunday night from 6 o'clock till whenever, depending on how long the preacher preaches? And Wednesday night, depending on how many, that's how long, that's the Lord's time and that's all I'm up? No, it's not, is it? It's all the time. And the Lord has charged us with a very high commission to represent a child of God. That we, as ambassadors for Christ, can show to the world the things around us. Now I'd like to shift just a little bit and go back over here to Hebrews. I'd like to look at a little bit different responsibility here. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 17th verse, Hebrews 13 and 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, when you look at this, there's two different types of responsibility here, isn't there? There's a responsibility to submit to those that have the rule over us, and there's the responsibility of those that have the rule over us that will give an account. And I'd like to look at that first. It says here, they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Now, does that mean that those that have the rule over us are required to give an account for us, and that we're now discharged from that and we're no longer responsible? It's not what it means, does it? It's that the scripture said every man shall give an account for himself, didn't it? I want to look at a scripture and see what the scripture said. I'll turn over here just momentarily to Ezekiel and see what the word of the Lord says. In Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse, it says, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Do you see the consistency here with the scriptures? It said, the scripture said, that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, didn't he? And you find in this the same consistency here that the prophet Ezekiel was saying here, was that everyone is going to be accountable to themselves. This is talking about here, when it's talking about as they that must give an account, it says here, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account. When God takes and puts a responsibility upon someone, that's a great responsibility, isn't it? And they're charged with that responsibility. But we find that Ezekiel brought it out very clear. He didn't say that they're responsible for all of those actions that happened. He said, you're responsible because you didn't warn them. And you're responsible, it goes right back to what we were talking about earlier. There is a accountability that we have when God puts us in a place of authority and in leadership that God gives us of being responsible to carry out and fulfill the charge that God has given us. Whether that is as a parent, as a Sunday school teacher, as a deacon, trustee, as a minister, or whatever God has charged us to do, there is a charge that He has given us, isn't there? And that is what we're responsible for. Sometimes when you look at this, the devil likes to take and work with these things and try to begin to confuse our minds. But dear ones, it's very clear what the Scriptures is teaching us here is that there is a responsibility that every one of us have. Lord help us, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. When I look at this, I want to drop on down here first of all. My burden is I want to focus on our individual responsibility. There's so much more here in this about the responsibility of a leader. But I want us to focus on the responsibility individually that we all have. And it goes back here to, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, you find here the responsibility of submission, don't you? Of submitting to those that God has given to this charge. Now, I want to ask you, does that mean that you and I have to submit to everything that every person in authority over us tells us to do? What if it's wrong? Well, I'm reminded of the scripture that Jesus said when he was there and he was speaking. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And that's over there in John, maybe the 15th chapter. And then it said also up above there, maybe in the 5th verse of that chapter, and it said, a stranger will they not follow. Now, this speaks to me that the Lord is telling us, he said, my sheep know my voice, and they'll follow me. But a stranger they will not follow. Well, then you go on in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in the 3rd verse, and Jesus was speaking there to the people, and he was talking to them about the scribes and the Pharisees. And he told them, he said, the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. It was a place of power and authority. It was something that God had ordained and a role of responsibility that he had given. And I want us to notice what Jesus said. He said, they sat in Moses' seat. He said, whatsoever they bid you observe and do, that observe and do. But he said, do not after their works. For they say and do not. What the Lord was telling us here is there is a responsibility that we have to those in power and authority over us. Now, the Apostle Paul said in one place, he said, know them. Brethren, I beseech you that you know them that labor among you and are over you. There's a responsibility that we have also to know them, isn't there? Because of this grave responsibility that falls upon us as we submit to the role and authority that God has. Jesus didn't sidestep what God had put in place. He told them, he said, when they observe, tell you to observe and do it, he said, observe that and do it. Because it was the law and it was the commandments of God. But he said, don't do as they do. When there are things that are contrary to Scripture, dear ones, we need to be very, very careful. I want to go over to Genesis. I want to look at a scripture over here in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. I hope you can follow me tonight. I bring out the thoughts here that the Lord has laid on my heart. Our responsibility, dear ones, is first of all to God. And then, according to the level of responsibility that God has put in place. And I want to look here in Genesis, the 2nd chapter. It's in the 2nd chapter of Genesis in the 16th verse. And it said, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now who did God give this commandment to? It was the man, wasn't it? This wasn't a plural meaning of man, as many times is referenced in the scripture when the scriptures talks about man and it means mankind in general. This was speaking, and it said, the Lord God spoke to the man. There was one person that God spoke to, wasn't there? And that was Adam. Eve had not even been created at that point when God gave this commandment. When you look at this, this was something that God did, dear ones, and it's very important. It's important for us to pay close attention to what God was doing here. In the very beginning, God created order and He created responsibility. And dear ones, God is all wise. He's all powerful. And when God does something, there's a purpose. Have you ever heard people ask the question or make the statement, well, now, God never told me to do such and such. God never told me not to do such and such. Or the statement of, I don't find that in the scriptures. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where it said that you do not do such and such. Dear ones, God is all wise in His dealings, and God deals with us according to our order of responsibility and to our understanding. And when you look at this, God spoke to the man, and He gave him this commandment. And when you look at God, what God was doing, I thought about this. You know, God could have waited until He created Eve, and He could have told them all of this together. But He didn't do it. When you look at the scriptures, the Lord spoke to the man and gave him this commandment. And then, later on, it says that He created Eve. Well, I believe there's a reason for that. When you look at what God does, God is all wise in all of His dealings. Now, let me ask you a question before I go here. Does God have to come down and tell all these little children, don't throw trucks in the church? Don't throw your cars during service? He doesn't, does He? Why? Whose responsibility is that? It's the parents, isn't it? And you say, well, where did the parents learn that? Well, hopefully from their parents. And if they didn't, then the scriptures make it very clear, doesn't it? It says for the elder women and men to teach the younger. There's Bible principle here that the Lord has given us of responsibilities and roles of responsibility. God's not going to come down and tell every child, don't throw that truck. You say, but well, how do we know if our parents learned it right? How do we know what they're teaching us? And I'm using this as a, just as an illustration, but I want you to get the point. How do we know that they're teaching us right? How do we know that what they learned and what they passed, it's not just written exactly such and such. It doesn't say anywhere in the scriptures, don't throw those trucks. How do we know that they've got that? Well, what did Jesus say? When you go back to the scriptures, Jesus told them, He said, search the scriptures, didn't He? You say, well, but it's not here. There's nothing here. I want to look at 2 Timothy for just a minute over here. I want to get us what the Apostle Paul said over here in 2 Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Dear ones, when you look at this, I find that there is a responsibility that you and I have, not only to submit to those in rule and authority, but we have a responsibility to search the scriptures, to be able to look and see by the scriptures, is this according to the Word of God? Are the things that are being passed down, are the things that's being taught, are the things that I'm hearing coming forth? Dear ones, when I'm standing here, you have a responsibility to search the scriptures as well as I have a responsibility for your soul. You have a responsibility to look at this and is it according to the Word of God? Because everything should be according to the Word of God. And you'll find that. I look at the Scriptures. You say, well, I'm going to go back to our throwing the truck in church. What's wrong with throwing a truck in church? Well, there are several things, isn't there? One is, when you come into the house of God, what do we come for? We come to worship who? God. We come to worship the Lord, the God of heaven. And when we come into His presence, when you look through the Scriptures, you will find Scripture after Scripture that deals with God and the greatness and the holiness of God and the carefulness of those that came into His presence. I think about through the Old Testament, there were Scripture after Scripture of people when they came into the presence of God. And what did the Lord tell them? He said, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. Why? Because they were coming into the presence of the august, mighty majesty of God. God wanted them to recognize, this is not Joe over here somewhere. You're coming into the presence of the Creator of all things. And I want you to have the reverence and the respect, the regard for me. And God wasn't doing that just because, like I was referencing this morning, because He just all about Himself. It's because it's for our protection, dear ones. If you and I fail to have the regard and reverence for God, do you know we're liable to overstep our bounds of authority? We're liable to take and do something that is contrary to God and will be destroyed because we're coming against one that is almighty, powerful, and holy. Well, God, you go through the Scriptures and you will find instance after instance where God has tried to instill in man a reverence and respect for God. What was it the Apostle Paul said in one place? He said that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Do you see, there is when we come into the house of God, there's a reverence and respect for God, isn't there? And so, one of the things that would be wrong for us to just be throwing trucks in church would be because it's not reverent to God. It's something that would be displeasing to God. Well, there's other things, isn't there? It would be very dangerous for you and I to be sitting here, and all of a sudden somebody, and there goes a truck, and there goes a doll, and there goes a ball. You know what people are going to be doing? They're going to be going. They're going to be ducking and looking. They're not going to be listening to the Word of God. They're not going to be getting the things that God has because for their safety, they're looking, whoa, man, I almost got hit. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it wouldn't be right, would it? Now you say, and I know this is a very simple illustration, but I want us to get a hold of it. Do you see why there's biblical principles? And what my burden this evening is, Lord, help us to recognize our responsibility to search the Scriptures, to understand why we're doing what we're doing, and to be able to stand upon a solid foundation. Dear ones, it would be dangerous. Now, you could say, well, you know, everybody ought to be looking out for themselves. And if that truck comes flying, they need to duck. And if they don't look, then that's their fault. Do you know that's contrary to what we were just reading at? We are responsible for those that we're given a charge to. And if we put, he said, don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall. We're not to do anything that is intentional to harm someone else or to cause disrespect for them, to cause them to be hurt. Spiritually, physically, or in any way. Well, so you see, it wouldn't be good. It'd be very distracting, wouldn't it, in the service of trying to be able to pay attention to the Word of the Lord. Well, Lord, help us this evening. Do you see, the Apostle Paul said here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Dear ones, there is within the Word of God everything that you and I need for everything. It doesn't matter what it is. If you and I will begin to search the Word of God, there is solid principles. Now, I want to go back over here now to Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter again. And I want us to look at this scripture over here. I'm sorry, Genesis, the second chapter. This is, it said, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Sometimes the enemy will try to take and make you and I responsible for things that are contrary to the will of God. Sometimes he will take and make us feel so responsible for something, and he'll make it seem so reasonable and so logical that it just seems like it makes sense. But dear ones, when you begin to compare it to the Word of God, if it's not according to the principles of the Word of God, you better be very, very careful. Because the enemy is very sly. And he knows how to get you and I involved in something and get us feeling responsible to do something that we're not. Sometimes the enemy will take a scripture out of context, and he will use it to convince those who are sensitive in trying to live for the Lord to do something that is contrary to the will of God. Just like he did with Jesus. Do you remember where Jesus was there and it was talking about his temptations, and what was it that Satan said? He said, "If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written that the angels will be given charge, and they will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." He said, it is written. He took the Word of God and he used it against Christ, and he said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, because it's written and it's going to prove this. Do you know what Jesus did? He said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Dear ones, Lord, help us to recognize our responsibility to search the Scriptures. There are people the enemy will do it, and he'll use people to try to put upon us things and responsibilities that are contrary to the Word of God. Sometimes the devil will take, and I thought about the scripture that I just read over there in Ezekiel, where it was talking about the watchman on the wall. Do you know how many times the devil has taken and used that against one of the children of God? Now, you know, the Bible says that if you don't warn them, you're going to be held accountable and their blood's going to be on your hands. I was just thinking, we were talking, some of us, on the way back from church last night, and Sister Tricia and I was riding over there, and we were talking. She didn't realize already what the Lord was putting on my heart, I'm sure. But I thought about this. Do you know, many times, and I've had the devil come to me the same way, and he began to present that, and he tell me, now you know, their blood's going to be on your hands unless you tell them. How many times has he taken and come to a young saint, someone that's just gotten saved and they're endeavoring to live for the Lord, and he comes up to them, and he'll tell them, now you know, you better go out there and tell those people that they're sinning. There'll be somebody that they don't even know, maybe. And the devil will come along, and they're sensitive and wanting to live for the Lord. And the devil will take that scripture and go tell them and say, you better go tell them that they're doing wrong, or their blood's going to be on your hands. Do you see how the devil works? They may not have known those people or anything. And what the devil is wanting to do, you can be sure what happens when they do it, and people have done it, and they've gone up and try to tell, and people look at them like, who are you? And where did you come from? And what is it that you're telling? I don't know anything about you. Well, do you see how the devil wants to work? And he'll impose, and he'll take the scriptures, and he'll try to require things of us and tell us we're responsible for something that is contrary to the Word of God. What did Jesus do? When he was here, did he go about and telling everybody around him, y'all are sinners and this is what you're doing? No, he didn't, did he? He went about doing good, and he went about healing, and he went about... Now, yes, there were people that he reproved, like the scribes and the Pharisee. the people that were hypocritical and that were coming out professing, and God and Jesus was very clear. But you know what I found? I find that Jesus, in his loving manner, went out. And when the woman came there and they were all accusing her, did Jesus go to her and look at her and say, "Woman, you're sinning and you're gonna be lost for that"? He didn't, did he? He got down and he wrote in the earth. And he wrote until all those people left. And then he got up and he said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" She said, "No man, Lord." He said, "Go and sin no more." The Lord knew her heart. And dear ones, this is what I want us to get a hold of. Lord, help us to search the Scriptures. I know I've been talking to us lately about spending time alone with God and praying and reading. But dear ones, it's more than just a good thing to do. We have a responsibility to search the Scriptures, to be able to get a hold of, because when the enemy comes in and he begins to take a Scripture out of context and he begins to say this or that, dear ones, we can say as Christ did, "But it is written. It is written. This is what the Scripture says. This is what it says over here." Oh, dear ones, how many times I think about, and I'm going to try to quit here pretty quick. I think about the Scripture that talks about when a brother sees someone in need and he closes his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How many times has the enemy taken and used that against the children of God? And tried to tell them, "Well, you need to take, and you see somebody else, you got to just go give them everything you've got." I'll never forget one time. I was in a situation, and there was someone came to me, and they were just talking, and they were talking about they'd gotten in some things they shouldn't have, and they got deep financial problems, and the devil said, "You need to just get some money and go help give it to them." And I was under a bondage, and I just felt, I felt, how dwellest the love of God? And that's what he used. And you see them in need and you're not helping them. And, you know, I know the Lord permitted that for a reason, because he wanted to teach me some things. And I would have just taken and just given it all to him. But fortunately, I was married at the time, and I talked to my wife about it. And she was like, "No, they're living a life. There's no way." I mean, it wasn't wise. But see, I was young. And I wanted to please the Lord, but there was, and the devil took that Scripture and he began to come to me, and I began to feel, and she's like, "No way, look at what they're doing. The Lord wouldn't be pleased with you. We couldn't afford it. We were struggling ourselves," and the devil, he knew it, and what he wanted to do is get me in a deeper bind, so that then he would come back and try to help. I don't know what all he had down the road, but you see, dear ones, the devil is very, He's very sly at taking the Scriptures and trying to take and impose it upon you and I. But the Lord said, "It is written. It is written." I've looked at people, and I've had people tell me sometimes, well, they felt like they were sensitive, and they just felt like, "Well, I just got to go down there to Skid Row, and I need to just," they weren't a preacher, but they just felt like they need to go down there and begin witnessing and all, and telling those people what they need. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, dear ones. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I've seen the devil take and use that in bondage. And I told him, I said, "Well," and I began to counsel with him, if the Lord is giving you this, here's some things that will happen. And you can begin to see it. You'll begin to see clear signs of what the Lord is doing. And he'll begin to manifest that. It's not just a fleeting impulse and then it goes away and then... Because what the devil does is he wants to bring guilt and condemnation. Because he wants in your life and my life, he wants us to go forward and have this, "Well, you know, I never did do that." And the devil's going to be right there. Dear ones, Lord, help us to recognize the tactics of the enemy. This is why it is so important for you and I to understand the Word of God, to search the Scriptures, because it's profitable for instruction, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that you and I might be fully equipped to be able to stand against the enemy of our soul. I read this Scripture over here in Genesis, and it said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." There's something here that we need to get a hold of. Dear ones, it's very obvious that God never intended for man to partake of the knowledge of evil. He never intended that. But the enemy in his sly way began to come in and he began to work. God is all wise, as I've said already. And he never does anything that is unwise. Now, think about this. There is a reason why God did not take and tell Adam and Eve everything about the knowledge of evil and what it was and what it would do. He just told them, don't partake of it. That's all he needed to do. Dear ones, have you heard the statement, and I'm sure you have, curiosity killed the cat. Temptation is a very powerful thing. It got Eve. And I want us to think about it. Eve only had one thing that the devil could use. You ever think about that? In everything else that God created, God gave it all to him. He said, you can partake of all of these things. There was only one thing that God told him you can't partake of. And that's the very thing that the devil worked with. Now, think about it for just a moment. Had God taken and written down everything that was evil and told him, now this is what I don't want you to partake of. For one thing, do you realize you couldn't read that list as long as it is in your lifetime? All the evils of all the generations, to have it all recorded in the scriptures and say, don't do this. Do you know it'd take you forever because of all the sins that there are and all the evil? But you know, there's another reason that God didn't do it. Because it would give the devil something to work with. All he had was one thing, and yet the power of temptation of, wait a minute, why did God say that? Satan's saying that you're not going to die. And if he's saying you're not going to die, then and I'm going to be as gods, why did God tell me that? There was only one thing that Eve had. Think of all the things that you and I are buffeted about all the time. There are things all around us that the devil has to work with to try. You can say, no, I get victory over this and I'm not going to have it. And you know what happens? He'll bring something over here. And you get victory over that and you know what happens? And he brings something over here. And he brings something over here. Do you see the wisdom of God and why that he did not put within the scriptures everything that every generation was going to face? Because God is all wise. Can you imagine? Had God taken and put in the scriptures way back in this time, things that our generation are facing today and saying, you're not going to need this right now, but there's going to be a generation that's going to need that. Do you know what would have happened? The devil would have begin working on them and saying, what is that? Pornography, what is that? Watching this on these things, what do you mean watching this? There wasn't even electricity back there. They couldn't even comprehend it, dear ones. What I want us to get a hold of is the wisdom of God, dear ones. God took and he placed within the scriptures moral precepts. He put in all different kinds of precepts of truth that touch. He didn't say, and I'm going to go back now to our illustration about the toys. He didn't have to put in the scriptures. Now, when y'all get in church, don't throw toys. It wasn't necessary, was it? There was solid principles of truth that people that fear God and begin to search the scriptures begin to glean from that truths, moral precepts.